It is good to be here this morning. We praise the Lord for the opportunity to share. Give a little personal update. Sherry and I is doing pretty well. We both seem to be suffering from OAS, old age syndrome. I reminded her the other day that, and I got thinking about it, that, you know, if it hurts, it must mean I'm still alive. So we praise the Lord for that. A little over 2 weeks ago, Sherry had surgery and is doing great. And we chuckle sometimes that, well, it's Tuesday. Which doctor do we go to today? But God has been faithful to us. In May, Sherry and I were able to travel to down by Asheville, North Carolina. If you know where Billy Graham's Cove is, it's about 5 minutes from there, is Ridgecrest Conference Center. And we went for our national CEF conference. And yes, it's suffering for the Lord when you wake up in your room and you look out the window and there's the Smokies and everything. It's gorgeous. But something was shared there that I wanted to share with you this morning. In the past 12 months, face to face, 14,007,831 boys and girls heard the gospel around the world through CEF Ministries. And we praise the Lord for that. What's really neat is they shared since 2008, it is a 50.2% increase in the ministry since 2008. So God's doing some great things. Here in Barry, Calhoun, we average from year to year about 2,000 boys and girls that we'll reach in the two counties with the gospel. But in the last 9 months, we've had good news clubs and schools after school. We've had 17 boys and girls trust Christ as Savior since last September. So we're praising the Lord for that. And one last thing that they shared, CEF has a goal of being around the world in 80 years. Kind of like famous novel, Around the World in 80 Days. Well, CEF will be 80 years old in 2017. And so they have a goal of being in every country around the world with the ministry of the gospel. To date, we are in 187 countries, and there's about 21 left to go. And by work in the countries doesn't mean somebody just goes in and tells a child about Jesus. It's an organized work with the board and everything operating. So God's doing big things with CEF. God's doing neat things here in our area. Jenny's helping me for a few weeks before she runs off and get married. But God brought a summer intern to us this year. Last year she taught clubs for me. And in the middle of training she came to me and says, I'm changing my college major. Instead of zoology, I believe God's calling me into full-time ministry. And she's now working as my intern this summer. And I've been picking on her all summer as we've been working. I said, you know, you're my third intern. And the first two ended up getting married and leaving me. Well, she doesn't even have a boyfriend. And she just smiles. She says, well, we'll see. But I will say this. Pray with us. Because God's given her a burden. She's shared with me, really give me a burden for this area, she said. And yes, Sherry and I's getting up there in years. In August will be 36 years we've been with CEF in Bering, Calhoun County. And of course, I pick on my wife now that she's officially old. She is now... Anybody volunteer to keep me for lunch today? No, she's officially received Social Security checks now, so I've been picking on her that she's officially old. But we don't know what God has planned for us in years ahead, and we're just praying, God, if you want Sarah here, reveal it to us. Show us. Sarah is a neat girl. Her grandpa... you're familiar with Continental Baptist Missions. Well, her grandpa was a church builder. He built over 40 churches for Continental Baptist Missions. And he built 10,000 linear feet of church pews through his ministry. And so she is a neat girl. We don't know what God has for us. Came across a quote a couple weeks ago by Hudson Taylor. When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. And I like that. When we work, we get busy, we do things, we work. But when we pray, God works. God is working. We praise the Lord for that. Turn with me this morning to Colossians 1. I want to share one of the prayers that Paul has and has shared in the book of Colossians here. Colossians shows Christ as the head of the church, head of the body of Christ. And... we're complete in Christ. Christ is all and in all. It's all found in the book of Colossians. And many of Paul's epistles, he opened them with a prayer for the people. And Paul had a care for them, love for the people. Here in Colossians, he says, I pray... he writes to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ. He loved them. He cared for them. His priority, I believe, was praying for them and encouraging the people. So I just want to look this morning at Paul's prayer here, and I want to encourage us to make prayer a priority and not a last resort. I've heard some people say prayer oftentimes, instead of being a steering wheel, becomes a spare tire. When everything else fails, well, then we'll pray. But let's make prayer our priority. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you and praise you this morning for this time that we can share. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would take your word and minister to each heart and life. And Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ, and that we would see him this morning. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. Start out with the reason for Paul's prayer. Look with me. Verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Notice that word there, praying always. Oh, it wasn't a hit and miss thing. It was, he prayed always. And I think that's an important part of prayer, is to be continually looking to God, praying always. Now, does that mean I have to be in prayer all day long, every day? No. But our heart needs to be in tune with God. I've often told people that when they take my prayer card, I say, don't commit to pray for me every day. I want you to commit that when God brings my name to your heart, you breathe a prayer for me. It might be 20 times in one day. But praying always. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. The reason for his prayers was he heard of their faith, love, and hope. What is faith? Well, in here, it's a complete reliance upon Christ for their salvation. Their faith, their salvation. Christ alone is a place of salvation. They were relying on Christ alone for salvation. That person, God the Son, not a good man, not as some religions around the world say he was a good prophet. Others say, well, he was a son of God. No, he is God the Son. It's in him we have salvation. God the Son. His work, what he did for me on the cross. But God demonstrated his love toward me in that while I was yet a sinner, Romans 5:8, Christ died for me. Christ died for me. We have a men's growth group, we call it, on Saturday morning. And yesterday morning at church, we was sitting around talking. We was talking about the hope of seeing the Lord someday. And the question was asked, what do you think of when you think of that hope? That someday I'm going to be in God's presence. And my first thought was, why? I'm nobody. I'm a sinner. We just sang, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder why he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Wow. But Christ did it for me. That's what they were relying on. He said, I pray, giving thanks for your faith in Christ Jesus for salvation. What am I relying on for my salvation? I have a good friend. I'm praying Dan will get saved. But the other day we was talking and he says, well, I hope my good things outweigh my bad things and I make it. No. I can't trust in luck and hope I make it. I can't even trust in all my good works. What does God's Word say? All my works of righteousness are as filthy rags. My good works are good. But that's not going to let me into heaven. One of the girls gave me for Christmas a book about Fred Meyer from Meyer's Markets, Supermarkets. What struck me through his whole biography was he was a good man. Very good, moral man. Now, I don't know if he ever trusted Christ as Savior. But that book was full of good things he did. In fact, one of the latest things they did was open up the Fred Meyer bike trails up there. Good things. But it isn't enough. What does John 14:6 say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. Christ said, I'm the way. Christ. That's where my faith has to be. One of my favorite hymns, in fact, I've shared with Sherry, you know, morbid thoughts that we get sometimes thinking about our funerals. I said, there's two hymns I want you to have sung at my funeral. She said, what's that? Number one, It Is Well. And the other one is, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place, Not in Device Nor Creed, but in the Ever-Living One. For Him I plead. My faith. Where's your faith this morning? Well, I can get by on my own. I can get by just coming to church once a week. That'll give me my duty. No. What did Jesus say? No man comes to the Father but by me, through Jesus Christ. That's where our faith is. And Paul says, I give thanks for your faith. You're trusting Christ. But then he goes on and he says, and of your love for all saints. They had love for all the saints. What is love? 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. Philippians 2, turn back page with me to Philippians chapter 2. I believe Paul here in this chapter shares what real love is. Start with 2, verse 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Wow. That's love. That's love. They was looking out for one another. They were esteeming others more important than themselves. Is that how we demonstrate love at Grace Baptist? Other people's needs more important than mine? Do we have that same love? That same mind. You know, Christ demonstrated it there in Philippians 2 on down verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant, became a man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What an example Christ shows for you and I. Paul says here in Colossians, I thank the Lord for your love. That love that you have for all saints. I thought that was interesting too when I read all. It was all saints. Well, I can love some people. But man, there's some people in church that I just can't love. Thought about that. We have a young man that comes to our church. He comes in sandals and shorts, t-shirts. Hair's a little longer. Of course, anybody's hair is longer than mine. But Chris is quite a unique character. He graduated from the Christian school there in Hastings. His father was a Berry County deputy that was killed here, what's it been, 3, 4, 5 years ago. His father was riding a motorcycle. But Chris has a passion for God and a love for God that I'd love to have that kind of passion. Do you know, the last 2 summers, he's went to Russia on a mission trip, and tomorrow morning, he's headed for 2 months this time to Russia on a mission trip. He has a love for God that would bring all of us to shame, and a passion for people. He sure looks different. I'm reminded of the story when I see him, and they said this really happened back years ago with the hippie movement and everything. There was a church service, and after the service started, this hippie come walking in, looked around, there wasn't an empty seat, so he walked right down the aisle, and he sat right on the floor right by the front pew. Everybody's looking, what's going to happen? Well, the chairman of the board got up and they thought, well, he'll take care of it. He walked down the aisle and he sat down right next to him. What's our reaction to somebody that maybe doesn't look quite like us? Or doesn't cross their T or dot their I just like us? Now, am I saying we want to compromise doctrine and things? No. But I'm saying, each one of us are individuals. God loves each one of us. And we need to have love for all the saints. Love for all the saints. I need to care for them. I need to encourage him. Going back to Chris made me think. Pastor told me one day that a lady in the church called and said, I wish you wouldn't have Chris up helping with music. Pastor said, have you gotten to know Chris yet? Do you know his heart? You know, as an older person, you need to encourage him and show him. Click. Hung up on him. What's our reaction? Do we care for them, encourage them? Yes, sometimes we have to correct them. But if we correct them, let's do it according to Scripture, not what we think is the right thing, but what does God say? Love for all the saints. And then he says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Their hope for eternity. And this isn't a hope that, well, I hope I make it. No, it's a hope knowing that someday I'm going to be there. A few verses, John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. To know him is eternal life. But these things, John 20:31, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Of course, 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The hope of someday being in heaven with Jesus. What a day that will be. I love this song. It was fairly new when Sherry's dad passed away. And they actually sang it at his funeral. Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Breathing new air and finding it celestial. Of waking up in glory. Wow. What's there for you and I? Well, you know, I think many times both our parents are there. I have a sister there. A lot of friends, a lot of relatives are with the Lord. And I think, oh, that'll be great to see Him. And yes, it will. But do you know, I honestly think that once we step on shore, all the trivial things are going to fall away and we're just going to be awed with being in God's presence. I can't wait. I have that hope. Where's your hope? I hope it's not like my friend Dan that, well, I hope the good outweighs the bad. Or maybe you say, man, life has been so rough. I don't even know what tomorrow brings. I don't have even any hope for tomorrow, let alone eternity. Do you know where we can get hope? Jesus Christ. He'll give us hope. Our pastor this past week had to do a funeral up in Mount Pleasant where he was a former pastor. A family that he led to the Lord but has been torn apart and many things through the years. 31-year-old son took his life last week. No hope. Know the Lord, but no hope. Where's our hope? Is it in God? We can have hope by turning our lives to God and say, God, I'm nothing. I'm a sinner, condemned. But because of your Son and the cross that he, and penalty and payment for sin by the shedding of His blood paid for my sins, I put my hope and trust in you. We have hope. We have hope. I love Bill Gaither's song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. I have that hope because of Christ. Where's my hope? Well, Paul looked at their faith, love, and hope. Faith was in the past when they trusted Christ as Savior. Love is in the present, how they were living today. And hope was looking to the future. But then he went on. Not only the reason for the prayer, but he dug a little deeper. I titled this The Real Life of the Church. The Real Life of the Church. Look at the end of verse 5. Of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit. As it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. That was the life of the church right there. The first thing I noticed is they heard the gospel. Of which you heard before in the Word. They heard the gospel. The Word was taught to them. The gospel. And they responded to it because they started bringing forth fruit. I thought about that as the church today. Are they hearing the gospel from Grace Baptist Church? Praise the Lord. I know your pastor. He preaches the word. People's responding to it. Brother shared with me how he was able to lead a family member to the Lord. People are getting saved. Something else I noticed. All this, verse 7, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, and as a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. They learned from their pastor. Imagine that. They learned from their pastor. But pastor's not here, so I can talk about him a little bit. Their pastor, Epaphras, what was he? He was a faithful servant. He was there. Now, I'm not down here a lot, but at my church, in fact, I don't know why I agreed to it, but I've really enjoyed it, is I'm chairman of the deacon board this year. And talk about jumping out of the frying pan into the fire, so to speak. But I've worked real close with pastor. My pastor. And do you know what I have noticed about him? He has a passion for the people. He cares for our people. He faithfully teaches the word, whether it's popular or not. He's preaching the word. And he serves others. He's a servant leader, and I appreciate my pastor for that. I trust your pastors that way too. These people, Colossae, they learned from their pastor. I'm certain your pastor preaches the word. Are you listening? Are you learning? Well, no. When God's Word's taught, we can learn. I don't care who's behind the pulpit. If it's God's Word, we need to learn. We need to listen and apply it. But I need to go on. They heard the gospel. They responded to it. They brought forth fruit in their own lives and in other people's lives, people being saved. They learned from their pastor. He was a faithful servant. His message was Christ. He served. So I come down to the response of the church. What's the response? Well, the response is, all these prayers and everything, what does verse 10 say? That you might walk worthy of the Lord. That's what you and I need to do. We need to walk worthy of the Lord. Now it goes on in there, on that verse, talking about we need to walk worthy of the Lord, be pleasing to Him in every good work, fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge of God. I have been challenged lately that, yes, I'm teaching God's Word in various ministries. I'm serving the Lord, but I still need to increase in my knowledge of God, my relationship with God. One of the neatest things with the conference we was to at North Carolina was many times when we go to CEF conferences, there are nuts and bolts things to do. This is how we do that, this is how you do this, how you do that. They did a totally different approach this time, and I told the president of CEF, we was having ice cream together one night, him and I, and I says, you're right on with this conference. The theme was times of refreshing, and do you know every morning and every evening was spent with Bible teaching? They just broke the word to us. It was neat to hear God's word taught and to be refreshed with His word. Am I growing in my relationship to God? You've heard me say it before, I'm certain, because I say it a lot. Do I love God more today than I did yesterday? Do I love Him more today than I did last week, last month, last year? Am I increasing in my knowledge of Him? Not about Him. Oh, we can know God's eternal and God's holy. That's all about Him. But the knowledge of Him is that relationship. That spending time with Him and His Word and letting Him speak to you. And you talk to Him in prayer. Building that relationship. My wife and I will celebrate, well, I tell people 78 years of marriage. It's 39 for me and 39 for her here in a few weeks. I didn't get to know her by just osmosis. It was spending time with her. Getting to know her. Her likes, her dislikes, her wills, her desires. Same way with God. Spend time with God and increase. Am I increasing in my relationship with God? That's my first response. And then the second response there is, if I'm increasing in my relationship with God, then I need to be bringing forth fruit. Yes, the fruit of the Spirit showing in my life, love, joy, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit, but also I need to be bringing people to Jesus. Because, and many times I think this when I'm talking with someone, leading them to Christ, the thought goes across my mind so many times. Well, I wonder if this is the last one before the rapture comes. I wonder if this is the last one. I have that hope that someday I'm going to be in God's presence, and I know that at the right time, He's going to say, let's come on home. Let's bow our heads. Before I pray, I want to ask what kind of response you have. Are you growing in the Lord in your relationship to Him? If not, ask God right now and say, God, help me to draw closer to You. In my relationship with You. Are you bringing forth fruit? Are you showing the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Are you sharing God's Word with others to bring them to your Savior? Maybe you're here this morning and you realize that, you know, I've been trying to make it to heaven on my good works or good luck. But I need to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's you today. I want you right there to say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know you sent your son to die for me. I want you to be my Savior. That's your heart's desire today. I want you to come and talk with me or with Tom or one of the other men here in church. Father, I do pray that if Paul was writing a letter to us today, that he would speak of our faith, our love, and our hope. And that we was growing in our relationship with you. God, help us to walk worthy. In your son's name I pray. Amen.